From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're in it with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. On the phone, I have the fifth candidate for the fourth city council district to call into the hot seat, Mike Schaefer. How are you, Mr. Schaefer? Thank you very much for taking the time to call into the hot seat.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now well, I have.
Do you want me to start off with my first question?
No. No, we're going to keep going. Now
okay.
I have lots of questions and not a lot of time, so without further ado, let's get started. Why did you decide to run for city council?
I have been a councilman for in San Diego 50 years ago, starting my career in 1965 when I was 28. I am just kicking off my career again at its humble beginning, something that I'm very good at. I have been a councilman. I've been a city prosecutor. I have a better education than any candidate, and I have more experience, and I think that is a winning thing for the people of L.A.
I have a question for you. Why are you saying that you're just starting off now? Because according to what I was able to find on the internet, you ran in 2013 for Mitch O'Farrell, or the seat Mitch O'Farrell holds in Council District 13. Am I correct?
Oh, I did. And I ran in 2001 for Tom Labonge's seat when he first ran for the city council. And he won that seat to succeed the late John Ferraro in CD1 in 01. So I've run before.
Yes,
right.
Yes, you have, and it was in the L.A. Weekly article that you wrote an op-ed in the L.A. Weekly in 2001 about that election. So I have to ask, because you previously ran in 13 and now you're back in 4, how do you know the district if you were previously not living there, and where are you living?
I live in Silver Lake, and actually the district adjoins CD 13. I've been very active in Hollywood for 10 or 15 years, and CD 4 is Hollywood, and CD 13 is Hollywood. So they are adjacent districts. I've lived in Atwater Village. I live in Silver Lake, which is right next to Los Feliz right now. I've lived in Mid-Wilshire. I've been in business in Mid-Wilshire. I've had an apartment house in the Koreatown area. I have lived and worked in different parts of the district, and the district, as you know, is far-flung. It includes places like Sherman Oaks, which is far away from any of this. It includes Hancock Park, and includes Park La Brea. It's really quite a mixture, but I've been around Los Angeles for half a century, and I know all those areas, but I know Hollywood and Los Feliz best, and that's this district.
Okay. What is your present occupation, and why do you believe you are qualified to be a city council member?
I am presently retired from half a century of practicing law. I've been managing millions of dollars in assets. I was a city councilman twice in the government of San Diego, working with $100 million budgets and protecting beautiful Balboa Park and the environment of San Diego, California. That was decades ago. I have a son who runs the Coachella Music Festival in Los Angeles, which is actually out in the desert, Palm Desert area for, you know, every April. I just feel that I have been very, very involved in the entertainment business, the real estate business, and in government matters. I'm always doing something with government. Just recently, I got the MTA to change their dialogue on their little recorded message. So when you get to Civic Center, red line stop, it now says Los Angeles Superior Courts and the Hall of Justice. It didn't used to say that. It just talked about the cathedral and Grand Central Park. I am very alert to everything that's going on. I have a battle going now with the parking administration. I think it's my duty to protect the people from their government. I don't think our government gives a darn about us. I think they're cruel to us in many respects, and you need somebody like me to protect us from overreaching by the parking administration and some other parts of government.
So is that why you call yourself a public interest advocate on your on the ballot?
Yes, I'm interested in fighting for public interest issues that nobody else seems to do anything about.
Okay. And I do want to say, because you say you've been in Los Angeles, I did find an article from the San Diego Tribune saying that you tried to run in Nevada in 2014, but a judge told you you couldn't because of your residency. And you also tried to run for U.S. Senator in Maryland.
Oh, I did. I did run for U.S. Senator in Maryland. And
so how do people...
In 2006, I came number 5 out of 18 Democrats, would you believe? I was assistant to the late Governor William Donald Schaefer, who spells his name like I do. He was a bachelor, and he sort of considered me to be a son. And he retired as governor, and I was very well known in connection with him. And I was one of the... I used to be back there about half the time in those years, taking care of Governor Schaefer, and then I would be out here in California.
But how can the people trust you if you continually run for office, especially from places that you don't have any roots from?
Oh, I do have roots in Maryland. I owned a hotel in Baltimore, Maryland from 1985 to 1991. When I was at law school at Georgetown University, I had a 200-acre tobacco farm in southern Maryland in Charles County. Actually, La Plata was a little town outside of Charles County, and that was about 30 miles from Washington, D.C. No, I have a lot of history in Baltimore, Maryland, but I was born and raised in San Diego, and my main interests have been in California and either L.A. or San Diego.
And I have to ask, you said you're retired from law, correct?
Yes.
Did that retirement come because you were disbarred from California and Nevada?
I have an application pending for my reinstatement to the Bar of Nevada. I had six cases against a condominium association that were mistreating us. I think they were crooked, and those cases resulted in my disbarment in 2001 in the state of Nevada, and it was reciprocal in California. I have been practicing law 50 years, and I have never had a client complain against me. I've never been sued by a client. They all love my work and whatnot, but I stopped practicing law in 2003. But I have a lot of famous cases in the election field. In 2001, I had a case that nullified residency requirements in all 50 states to run for federal office. And I had a case in California that affects all of us right now. You know, we're not listed on the alphabet anymore to be on the ballot. If your name is Alan Aardvark instead of Max Schwartz, you're not going to be first on the ballot as you would be in most states. You are subject to a random alphabet, and that's something that I invented back in the 1970s. And,
yes, I did see that you were
It was enacted by law by the California legislature after half a dozen similar cases to mine. We challenged the alphabet as being a denial of equal protection of the law, and that's what
yes,
did
I did
California
see you were the attorney. You were an attorney behind that, but I still...
I was the attorney behind the guy whose name was in the middle of the alphabet who wanted to challenge it, and we filed the suit in San Diego County, and we won, and there were half a dozen attorneys in L.A. wanting my pleadings, and they filed similar suits, and then the legislature gave up and adopted the random alphabet, and as you probably know, L.A. draws its own random alphabet, which is different than the one the Secretary of State draws every year.
That is true.
Although it could...
I do have to ask, though, and I'm going back to this, why should the people believe that you truly represent them and be a good representative if you just tried to run in Nevada and if you've been disbarred for ethical violations by the Nevada and state bars? If you can just try to explain to the public why they should vote.
Well, first of all, why did I not get on the ballot in Nevada? Because I was considered to be a California resident.
I know, but the point is you tried to get on the ballot in Nevada.
No, the courts of California have decreed the multi-year residence requirement to run for state office, I mean constitutional office, like governor, secretary of state, those offices, you know, to be unconstitutional, a denial of the rights of the voters and the rights of the candidates. California has the same residence requirement of 2 or 3 years that they do in Nevada. Nevada and California both have a 2 or 3 year residence requirement. I think it's 3 years in California and 2 years in Nevada. I told the Secretary of Nevada that I was not going to respect their 2-year residence requirement because the courts have declared the 3-year residence requirement to be unconstitutional next door in California, and we adopt most of our important decisions from the state of California, which has had a much bigger, more forceful government with thousands of courts instead of dozens of courts. They disagreed with me in California and they decided to enforce their 2-year residence requirement in Nevada, even though California declared theirs unconstitutional.
And let me rephrase the question,
something on that if you're interested in it. I still do not think the Nevada limitation is...
We're not talking about Nevada, Mr. Schaefer.
Like California has no residency requirement to hold a statewide office like governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, treasurer, controller. I think it's up to the voters to vote for who they want to do vote for.
What I'm trying to get at is, how do the people of the 4th District know you have a vested interest in them if you just tried to run in Nevada earlier in 2014?
Well, I fulfill all requirements of law to run in the 4th District. And I run in the 4th District back when you were probably in college in 2001.
No, I was in elementary school in 2001.
I've been running in the 4th District now for 15 years.
Okay. So moving on now, because we do have to get on to other issues. The 4th Council District is very diverse. If elected, how will you get to know each portion of the district and what is important to that specific region?
I think the district is impossible. I think it's designed to dilute it, so no district part seems to have any power or authority. I think it should be refigured so that it is one large area to represent, like the district on the out in Venice and Santa Monica, out in that area, those parts of Los Angeles just south of it. That's all one continuous district. Our district is absurd. It's an abnormality. Our district includes Koreatown. Our district includes Sherman Oaks. Our district includes Toluca Lake. Our district includes Silver Lake, where I live, and Los Feliz and all the Hollywood Hills. Also includes Hancock Park and also includes Park La Brea. It is so broken down that there is no real sense of the district, and I'm sorry about that. I think we're all political victims of this being designed years ago to keep us from having any authority.
So would you put forth an amendment to the charter or and a motion on the city council to redo the districts?
Yes, I would ask the district recast so that they all represent areas that are not just contiguous, but areas that have common interest. That's what is decreed in the drawing of districts, to have common interest, and we don't.
Okay.
Our district is a farce.
And another question I have on this matter is, what will you do if Sherman Oaks wants something but Toluca Lake or Hancock Park does not? How are you going to decide which way to vote?
Well, we're only one. You're talking about something of citywide interest. We're only one out of 15 seats.
Yes.
You know, we would have to make a decision as to what our district thought based on what Toluca Lake, Hancock Park, Koreatown, and Sherman Oaks wanted. I think in those kind of situations, you tend to defer on the Sherman Oaks issues to the people that live in the Sherman Oaks area, and what Koreatown thinks about it is immaterial.
Okay. And we will be taking a short music break, and we'll be back with candidate Mike Schaefer of the 4th City Council District. And we are back now with Mike Schaefer, the 5th candidate to call into the hot seat running for the 4th City Council District. And Mr. Schaefer, Mayor Garcetti recently announced his Resilience by Design plan that would in part mandate the retrofitting of some older buildings. The City Council recently passed this motion, and according to Luis Reyes, they expect to have the language of the ordinance in February. However, there are already questions about funding the improvements. Given that there are a lot of older apartment buildings in the Los Feliz area, what are you going to do to make Mayor Garcetti's plan financially feasible for building owners?
I think there should be some participation by the city as well as the building owners. These things are making the building, the neighborhood safer, making the neighborhood more attractive, making the residents safer. They are good, but there should be some participation on some of the costs by the city as well as the property owners. That will make it easier for the property owners to take care of the matter, and it also encourage more and more people to have safe, clean, and decent housing as they're entitled to.
So to be clear, to clarify, you want just there to be a partnership between the city and the building owners and have the city help the building owners finance it?
Yes, I would think it might be one-third, two-thirds for the property owners, or maybe over 25% for the city and 75% for property owners. I think the city should encourage faster and better development of this to protect our citizens, and that's one way to do it.
Okay, and what are you going to do to make sure the renters do not have to pay a disproportionate amount of the costs?
We have a rent stabilization board that's very vigilant, and the rent rates are controlled, and I would just think that applications would have to be made that would be treated fairly, and I can't sit here and decide what's fair in each case, but rents are substantial as they are now. In fact, I think they're excessive. And I would think that the Rent Stabilization Board would have some kind of caution about adding more to the affordability of housing. And we really need to expand more low-cost housing is the answer.
Just because, though, there's a rent stabilization board, what are you going to make sure that your constituents that are building owners follow that rule?
Well, we have a very vigilant city attorney's office, has a large staff that monitors all these, either on a complaint basis or we have vigilant inspectors. I've been in the apartment business. I've had 270-unit buildings in Los Angeles. I'm sorry you didn't find that article about me. You might look it up in 1986, and I have worked closely with rent stabilization, with city inspectors, and with the needs of low-cost housing. And I think I'm more expert on this than all the other council candidates put together.
Okay. And moving on now to another issue, two related issues of citywide importance are street services and sidewalks. They are very important to the Valley, too. Some areas do not have any of the latter. If elected, what are you going to do to improve streets?
Well, we're going to be able to improve more of the streets and not all of the streets if we have a partnership going in there. We should have a partnership that consists of half of the city paying the bill, not all of the city. And with the property owners themselves paying a quarter of the bill at least, because it's going to improve their property and make it worth more money. And then I wouldn't be afraid to ask the county government, since every home in the city is also located in the county. Every city home pays county real estate taxes. The increased value of the home is going to be more county real estate taxes as well as more city real estate taxes. We should get the county to join in for 25% of the cost of upgrading the residential areas that have all these broken sidewalks and whatnot, because we're all in this together. We all benefit from the enhanced taxation, and I think it would not be at all inappropriate for the county and to the property owner to come in with 25% and limit the city's participation to 50%.
And so you want, but what about streets? Do you want residents to float part of the bill for repaving the streets?
No, I'm talking about the sidewalks where you can't skateboard, you can't walk without tripping and falling, you can't jog without hazarding your health. I'm talking about the sidewalks. The streets are more of a strictly municipal problem because we get traffic from, you know, all over, including outside. I mean, a lot of the traffic in our streets comes from other cities. People in Santa Monica go all over the cities of Los Angeles.
Okay, and going back to your about the county, have you researched or talked to anyone at the county to see whether that's a feasible option for them and whether they'd be willing to float part of the bill?
They wouldn't be willing to do it now because there's been no campaign. I would enlist the Los Angeles Times and the Daily News and KNX and Ken and John and other people to get them to see the merit in the situation, and there'll have to be a media program of all of these sources supporting our desire to improve the community for all of us with participation of a small amount by the county, small amount by the property owners, and a larger amount by the city. But this is a campaign that has yet to be kicked off, and I will not be kicking it off, of course, until I am elected to office.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Mr. Schaefer, and thank you very much for calling into the hot seat today. It was a pleasure. The Hot Seat After Hours starts right now. You can email the Hot Seat inbox at thehotseatwithmaxschwartz@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at MaxSchwartzTV. You can subscribe to the Hot Seat's newsletter by clicking on the link on our page. Go to innerbergradio.org/podcast and click on the link underneath the Hot Seat's description and enter your email address. Thank you for listening. I hope you will join me next time with 4th District candidate Steve Verez.